Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this Sunday, which celebrates the solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ, or also known as the Feast of Corpus Christi. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear the Gospel from St. Matthew and read and discuss the Word of Life for June. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
St. Pius X Catholic School is offering you a chance to save on some needed or wanted personal items well in advance of the Christmas rush. They're having a rummage sale, and you can benefit. The dates are Friday and Saturday, June 18th and 19th from 7 a.m. till 2 p.m. in the Parish Hall, 737 St. Pius Drive, near the Airline Gallagher Road intersection. If you'd like to drop off donated items or get more information about the rummage sale, call St. Pius X Catholic School office, 993-1343.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm well. Thank you, Barbara. And yourself?
I'm doing well also.
Good. Happy June.
Yes. Yes. Almost halfway through the year.
Yeah. Right. Goes fast.
Mm-hmm. It was. So we have a very special gospel this morning. So if we could just prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, giving thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is Jesus' last supper with his disciples, and of course they don't know that, but this reading kind of coincides with Passover, which celebrates the liberation from slavery. So Jesus is really being very hospitable, you know, about wanting his disciples to share a meal with him.
Well, it was the feast that all Jews would share, of course, on this on that occasion of celebrating or remembering, really, the exodus from Egypt of the chosen people. So it was a very special day, high day for them to do it. So it was almost, I won't say mandatory, but it was certainly something in them that they would do this. So he certainly wanted to take that occasion to be there with them. But he was also aware that he himself was called for the new covenant, which was to free all of us from our sins. And that is what he then would accomplish on the cross the next day as he was taken into custody just after this supper and led to the praetorium, imprisoned, and the next day brought before Pilate. And of course, we know the rest of the story. He was scourged, crowned with thorns, and taken to Mount Calvary, where he was crucified, died, and then was buried close by. So it is a moment for us to remember as Christians, as Catholics, especially with as we celebrate the real presence of Jesus in his Eucharistic presence, his Eucharistic elements of bread and wine. And so this feast today with this gospel celebrates in memory, as a remembrance of that liberation that we have in Jesus Christ. I think it's important for us to refocus our attention on liberation, freedom, forgiveness of sins, because we've grown a little,
lax.
Lax in understanding that we are sinners. I've always admired that response of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, when he was asked, who are you? And he said, I'm a sinner. He didn't give his name. He just simply said, I am a sinner. And we all have to realize that we are sinners. No one is free from sin, and only Jesus can free us from sin. So to understand what the Eucharist means for us, the body and the blood of Christ, Corpus Christi, we have to understand who we are as well. Otherwise, we can put ourselves above the Eucharist in the sense that I deserve, I'm entitled of this Eucharistic moment with the Lord. None of us are entitled. None of us warrant it. It's by God's grace that he so loved the world that he sent his Son to us. And so to celebrate this feast is to celebrate our encounter with Jesus Christ, who died and rose and who encounters us. I was thinking this morning how many times Jesus encountered people. And in those encounters, he was not there to condone or justify their activities, but always to call them to conversion. We hear a lot today of who's worthy and who's not worthy to receive the Eucharist. None of us are. Absolutely none of us. And I remember hearing this so forcefully from my own great aunt, who was a poor Clare nun, a cloistered nun, that none of us are worthy. And if anyone in my mind at the time would have thought, it would certainly be her.
Right.
But she always told me, none of us are worthy.
She had that humility.
So when we look, and that's because we recognize we're sinners. Mm-hmm. When we stop recognizing our own sinfulness and really owning that at the depth of our being, not being justified, but being sinners, then we will misinterpret the meaning of the Eucharist. Thinking of the many people that Jesus met, a woman caught in adultery, tax collectors, the Pharisees, the scribes, so many people that in modern terms didn't deserve his attention because of who they were, he went to them, he sat with them, he encountered them. But one thing he did in each of these is go and sin no more. He calls to conversion. So every time that we approach the Eucharist, the body and the blood of Christ, we are being called to a conversion. And many of us take it as just another Sunday or another day, and we don't realize the depth of the purpose of the Eucharist, the purpose of the body and the blood of Christ. It is to call us to Christ, to a conversion. He is God, and I'm not. So there's a gap there. So to encounter Jesus in the elements of the sacrament of the body and the blood of Christ, the bread and the wine, which are his body and blood, I have to realize that there is a call to a conversion, to a change of heart, to a change of life. And that's for anyone who receives the Eucharist, if they're going to receive it worthily, as we say, that is a call to a conversion.
As you were talking about this, Bishop, I remember this time last year when we weren't able to attend church. And we could view it, of course, but we couldn't attend mm-hmm. church. But the most important thing was we couldn't receive Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember how powerful that was for myself personally. when we were able to go back to Mass in person and see it, and I saw that on other people's faces also.
Well, and it was a great reminder, a painful reminder of his true presence, mm-hmm. because we can't rationalize these things, but we can understand with our heart when we are not able to participate, there's a longing there. And that longing is for the presence. What do they say? That absence makes the heart grow stronger. So when there's an absence, we have a stronger desire for. And again, that goes back to the conversion. When we desire something so strongly, it's because we're being called to a conversion, a change of life, a newness of life, a restarting of life, and not just, I deserve this. Mm-hmm. So I think this Feast of the Corpus Christi this year is a special moment for an awareness of that, because he truly is present. And how is he present? The little time that we have available, I think we should spend a moment of that. It's not through a laboratory that he's present. It's certainly not by anything that we have done or that we can do as human beings. It's purely by the power of God. And the power of God is the presence of the Holy Spirit. The beautiful prayer before the words of consecration that we say every day at the Mass, we say, repeat the words of Jesus. They're a repetition of his very words. This is my body, which is given up or sacrificed for you, and this is my blood shed for you, poured out for you. Those are words that are spoken. They have to be spoken aloud by the priest in the sacrifice of the Mass. But who effects that bread becoming his body and the wine becoming his blood is the Holy Spirit. The silent, the perhaps forgotten, unknown God. And I think nowadays we need to pay attention more to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Those beautiful words, just before we consecrate with the words of Jesus at the Last Supper, the priest holds his hands over the elements of bread and wine, calling the Holy Spirit. And in the second Eucharistic prayer, we say this: make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're asking the Father to send your Spirit upon these gifts like dewfall. So dewfall is a very subtle, simple thing, so that they will become, that the transforming power of the elements of bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ are the gift of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit.
It's a beautiful day, and I think as the entire church celebrates this solemnity, it's very special for us having our diocese named
Absolutely.
Corpus Christi.
Exactly, sure. So,
thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for June. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Mark your calendar now for the 28th Annual Ethnic Festival at St. Paul the Apostle Catholic Church, 2233 Waldron Road in Flower Bluff, Saturday, June 11th, 11 a.m. till 4 p.m. Featured will be world cuisine, including Filipino, Polish, Irish, Korean, Vietnamese, Mexican, and, of course, good old American. It's also an open house occasion, and you can see their new building. You'll have the opportunity to bid on silent auction items, enjoy various games, the arts and crafts, and live entertainment. It'll be fun for the whole family, and there'll be food for every taste. Admission, of course, is free. For more specific details, call the parish office, 361-937-3864. It's festival time.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, once again, this is the first Sunday in June, so we have another Word of Life. And as I say each time, Bishop, it's another lovely reflection for us for this month.
So the June Word of Life, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. This phrase from Matthew's Gospel is part of the conclusion to the well-known Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus, having proclaimed the Beatitudes, invites his listeners to recognize the loving closeness of God and indicates how to act accordingly, to discover in the will of the Father the way to reach full communion with him in his kingdom. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. But what is the will of God? How can we know what it is? In a worldwide conference call to Focolare members in 1992, Kara Lubick shared her discovery in this way. God's will is God's voice that continually speaks to us, inviting us. It is a thread, or rather a divine golden filament, that weaves through our daily and earthly life and beyond. It is God's way of expressing his love, a love that asks for a response so that he can accomplish his wonders in our lives. God's will is what we should be, our true being, our fulfillment. Let us always repeat, let it be done, before every painful, joyful, or indifferent will of God. We will discover that these four simple words will be a powerful impetus, like a launch pad, to do whatever we must do with love, with perfection, and with total dedication. Moment by moment, we will compose the marvelous, unique, and unrepeatable mosaic of our life that the Lord has always thought of for each of us. Just as tiny and multicolored flowers have their meaning within the boundless beauty of nature, so even the smallest thing, like an act of love, has a meaning and shines forth in the beauty and immensity of God. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. According to Matthew's Gospel, the Christian's law par excellence is mercy, which is the fulfillment of every act of worship and love for the Lord. While this Word of Life helps our relationship with God, which is certainly personal and intimate, it also opens us up to a fraternal dimension. As we take concrete actions, it urges us to go out of ourselves, to bring reconciliation and hope to others. A group of young people from Heidelberg, Germany, gave this testimony. How could we make our friends experience that the key to happiness lies in giving ourselves to others? This is where we started to launch our new action entitled An Hour of Happiness. The idea is very simple, to make another person happy, at least for 1 hour a month. We started with the people who we felt most needed love, and wherever we offered our availability, doors were thrown wide open. And so there we were in a park, pushing some elderly people in wheelchairs, or in a hospital, playing with children, or doing sports with people with disabilities. They were overjoyed, but as the action promises, our joy was even greater. And our friends, who were invited to participate, at first they were intrigued, but now that they have tried to make other people happy, they agree with us. Happiness can be given, and the return can be felt.
So many parts of this Word of Life to zoom in on and talk about. One of the kind of halfway down where Kara Lubick says, God's will is God's voice that continually speaks to us, inviting us. And I wrote down, maybe that's the Holy Spirit talking to us too.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, very good observation. It certainly is the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said the last thing in Matthew's gospel, I will be with you always until the end of time. So the way he's with us is that he gave us his Spirit. So the attentiveness that we must have and can have and should have to the Holy Spirit brings about new ideas, brings about consolation, brings about joy, peace, all the fruits that come from the Spirit. So these young people in Germany found that it's by giving that true happiness is accomplished. And of course, the ultimate will of God for us is to give. Mm-hmm. Give and you'll receive. But he himself gave his Son to us. So this action of going out of ourselves, giving of ourselves, reaching beyond ourselves, seeing the other's needs before our own, chapter 2 of Philippians, so many things of the gospel are there. And I think the way that we hear the word of God is that we are evangelized, self-evangelized. And this is one of the purposes of the word of life, that it's the word of God which imprints itself into our life so that we can't help in our own daily actions. The Spirit, Jesus said, the Spirit will remind you of all that I've told you. So paying attention to these monthly words, for example, is one method, imprints these words into our life so that in a given moment, in a given occasion, we might find ourselves wanting to do the will of God, or seeing the need in another person, or feeling, I don't want to do this, but not my will, but yours be done. These words of Jesus, which are then activated by the Spirit, help us to understand and hear God speaking to us in the words of Jesus, because those words are gold, really, for us. I mean, it's everything, and it's the Spirit that activates them daily.
Mm-hmm. And is the phrase that we're focusing on, which, you know, was from Matthew's chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. You've got to do the will of God.
Right, and I was just reading last night a Jesuit author from the 18th century, so in the 1700s, mm-hmm. who, again, as many as all have said, that it's not so much the talking about it, it's not so much, but it's doing the will of God. The real road to holiness is the will of God. It's not that I perform certain acts, or that I even am a good person, or that I help the poor. You know, all those things are wonderful if they're the will of God. Because I can be helping the poor and neglecting my family. Mm-hmm. Or I can be so focused on my family that I neglect the poor. So it's a very subtle reality, our life, to listen every day to the word of God, to the will of God in our life, and to respond accordingly. And if we make the wrong choice, we ask the Holy Spirit to redirect our efforts, and that certainly can happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this, you mentioned, and it's in here, let it be done. You know, mm-hmm. those four words of let it be done. Mm-hmm. And I also loved that the unrepeatable mosaic of our life that mm-hmm. the Lord has always thought of for each of us. What a beautiful way to describe that. Our lives is a mosaic.
She at one point said that our life is like a tapestry. That if you look at it, you know, on the top, at the end of life, it's a beautiful tapestry. But if you turn it over, it's a bunch of knots and misdirected threads. So mm-hmm. our life is confusing at times. But in the end, what God looks at is the finished product. Mm-hmm. So that we should never get discouraged. If you turn the tapestry over, there's a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. But through God's grace, what's important is the finished product, which is a smooth, beautiful tapestry, which is called life.
Mm-hmm. And I think we've all had the occasions where we realize we're here and we're supposed to be here, and then you look at the journey of how you got here and you think, I might not have made some great decisions 10 or 20 years ago, but it got me to here, and that's what God wanted us to do.
Well, and it's also the encouragement and the hopeful message that we never give up.
Right.
because if I miss God's will in one moment, I move to the next moment, because God is not in the moment that just passed. He's in the present moment. Mm-hmm. So there's many, many authors, and Carol Lubick herself was a great proponent to the present moment, to live in the present moment. Because if we lament and we get stuck in the past, then we've lost the present.
Right.
And if we're projected into the future, we've missed the present, and God's only in the present. Mm-hmm. So it's not saying, Lord, Lord, help me forgive my sins of the past, but to do the will of the God, the will of the Father right now in the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another beautiful word of life. And I think the last thing I wanted to say, Bishop, was that, as we mentioned before, you take concrete actions. Go out of ourselves to bring reconciliation and hope to others.
Right. Exactly. That's the best thing we could do.
Yes. Thank you. So, Bishop, if you could end our program this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Oh, God, who in this wonderful sacrament have left us a memorial of your passion, grant us, we pray, so to revere the sacred mysteries of your body and blood, that we may always experience in ourselves the fruits of your redemption, who live and reign with God the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless us this day, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing this Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.